Searching for the Google Peak.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. What goes up must come down, right? That is a law of physics, the last time I checked. Apparently, Google is not of this earth. In after-hours trading, the company's stock soared $32 to a new high of $335 a share. When it went public 14 months ago, the price was $85. That's a 300% jump. And analysts are still telling people to buy. Google's profits skyrocketed sevenfold last quarter compared to the same quarter last year. So what's the secret? Here's Marketplace's Ethan Lindsay.
Google is, before anything else, a search engine. Its cash cow has always been the ads users see when they search the web. But even if you don't count income from ad sales, Google's third quarter revenue jumped 18%. David Hallerman studies online ads for eMarketer. He says Google's strength is that it keeps searching for new ways to make money, just like Microsoft did when it was king of the hill.
You know, there could be some blowback against them in terms of buying at some point down the line. There always can be resentment, but people like the company in ways that they never really have liked Microsoft.
Even if users aren't souring on Google, some companies are. Five major publishers sued over a plan to scan copyrighted works without permission. And rival Yahoo reported strong growth of its own on Wednesday. But those nifty numbers were eclipsed by Google's. I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
Carnival Cruise Lines is making a tidy profit, but at least one congressman wants to drop the anchor. California Representative Henry Waxman says the company's making more money housing Katrina victims than it would be using those ships for cruises. Carnival billed the government $236 million. Waxman checked the books and found out the company would only make $150 million on cruises. Some in Congress are worried about China's interest in buying American companies. The Senate Banking Committee wants stricter rules on foreign takeover bids. Marketplace's Janet Babin has more.
Concern built after 9/11, but peaked this summer. China-controlled CNOOC made a bid for American oil company Unocal. Lawmakers objected so fiercely that CNOOC backed out. Now, a congressional report criticizing the foreign investment review process has Congress calling for more control. But Jeffrey Schott with the Institute for International Economics says that would hamper trade.
We need foreign investment in the United States to help finance our incredibly large current account deficit.
Last year, that deficit surged above $660 billion. The Bush administration supports the current system that allows the president to block any investment he believes threatens security. In Los Angeles, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The doctor's in at Walmart. Urgent care company Solantic has struck a deal to build walk-in clinics at two Florida stores. The doctor will be on duty while Walmart is open, weekends and evenings as well. And instead of sitting in the waiting room, you can shop. Wednesday's big gains on Wall Street wiped out on Thursday. Inflation talks and bad earnings. The Dow fell 133 points to end at 10,281. The S&P 500 sank 17, and the Nasdaq lost 23 to 2068. This is Marketplace. You could bring home this week's Department of Education report to mom. Fourth and eighth graders excelled in math. The gap between whites and minorities shrank, but it wasn't all good. Here's Sarah Gardner.
This is the first national report card since No Child Left Behind, and President Bush said the scores show the education reform law is working. Maybe not fast enough, however. The gains were modest and showed that most American students have a lot more learning to do. Less than a third of eighth graders, for example, were deemed proficient or advanced in mathematics. Ruslan Ali is with the nonprofit Education Trust.
In order for us to be competitive, we have got to ensure that our people have much higher levels of skills than they are demonstrating today.
Arthur Rothkopf of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says if student achievement doesn't improve significantly, Americans can expect to lose more good jobs to foreigners in the future. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fannie Mae, working with our partners to increase homeownership and affordable rental housing opportunities for more Americans. Fannie Mae. FannieMae.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with national patient associations to educate and support patients and their families. The Medtronic Foundation, Medtronic.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Congress is all about budget cutting right now. The Senate wants to shave $35 billion in spending, the House, $50 billion. But when Medicaid is a major target, do the cutbacks come at the expense of the poor? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler looks at the conservative position on that.
Congress has promised some $62 billion for Hurricane Katrina rebuilding and recovery. To pay for it, conservative Republicans want to cut the budget for programs like Medicaid. Democrats say any savings would come at the expense of the poor and elderly. But North Carolina Congressman Patrick McHenry disagrees.
To characterize that as hurting the poor is disingenuous. And in fact, I believe that if we craft an appropriate system that delivers help to those that are truly in need, it's going to help the poor even more.
McHenry is a member of the Republican Study Committee. That influential group of fiscal conservatives has been pushing for deeper budget cuts.
We have to look at really reforming this system and rooting out especially the waste, fraud, and abuse.
Brian Riedel, federal budget analyst with the Heritage Foundation, agrees.
Defending these inefficiencies isn't doing low-income families any favors. Let's clean up these programs. Let's make them work. Let's make sure the money is spent well.
Riedel would like to see the new prescription drug benefit repealed and loopholes closed that allow people to hide wealth in order to qualify for Medicaid. Otherwise, he isn't optimistic.
Long-term, entitlements threaten to literally bankrupt the entire federal budget.
But a new survey out found growth in Medicaid spending slowed for the third straight year. Diane Rowland is executive director of the nonpartisan Kaiser Commission on Medicaid and the Uninsured.
In reality, I think Medicaid has been a very lean program, and I think you can ask the providers whose payment rates have been kept very low on the Medicaid program, and they would agree.
She thinks the program is so successful, it deserves more money.
If you look at the job that Medicaid is doing and the many gaps that it's filling, you could say the program is underfunded, not overfunded, and perhaps ought to not be a target for cuts.
Even some conservatives fault the Republican proposals. Michael Cannon is director of health policy studies at the Libertarian Cato Institute and author of Healthy Competition.
These reforms are not really going to save a lot of money. Moreover, they're probably going to end up reducing the quality of care that people on Medicaid receive.
Cannon isn't against cuts to Medicaid, but he thinks the program needs a more significant overhaul, similar to welfare reform. And even those who favor Medicaid cuts, like Brian Riedel at the Heritage Foundation, says Congress should put other sacred cows back on the chopping block.
Lawmakers should be getting rid of the pork in the highway bill. They should be going after corporate welfare. They should be repealing any legislation that would send us to Mars or the moon.
So far, lawmakers have spared most of these pet projects, though both the House and Senate do agree that Medicaid should no longer cover impotence drugs like Viagra. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
On Sex and the City.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.